Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Daniel.
Welcome back from New Orleans.
Yes, thank you. We're both back. It was the Alex and Keith show.
Yes, last week.
So we thank those guys for filling in. You hung out with your buddies from Georgia, as you do every year for this game.
And I could have done the show. We didn't get crazy. I could have came in and did the show, but Keith was already in place, so Alex was already in place, so. And I would have felt bad not doing the show had Kentucky won the game, because it's a big moment, and then not be here to do our show that revolves around UK athletics. But they didn't. Very disappointing. But another chance today.
Yes.
Against Tennessee. And here at 10:30, we will begin previewing the game in earnest with Coach Steve Ortmeier, who is in the studio with us this morning. And if you remember, the last time he was here,
he was pretty right on.
Yeah, absolutely. But what a week it was. What a weekend it is. We elected a president this week. UK basketball tipping off the season. College basketball opening up last night. But the UK men and women opening their seasons last night. And then
with impressive victories, the women especially.
Yeah. The women play again tonight at Memorial Coliseum. And then the men play Sunday against Canisius at Rupp Arena. And then go to take on Michigan State Tuesday. Michigan State, by the way, looked pretty good, even though losing to Arizona. It was Miles Bridges looking awesome.
I know. I was thinking to myself, like, obviously Kentucky has got some guys that can dunk.
Yeah.
Right? But Miles Bridges may be the best dunker in that game.
Yeah, Arizona beats Michigan State on a shot with 1.9 seconds left.
Because nobody guarded the dude. He just dribbled all the way down the court and shot a layup.
But John Calipari said, in his post game last night, said because Michigan State lost, he said, we're going to be playing a mean dog up in New York. They're a little upset. So let's get this out of the way first.
Yes.
This moment in history and time for us, something we have never seen in our lifetimes.
I don't know who has. Who has seen anything like this?
Well, Coach Ortmeier, you remember Nixon resigning, right? That was pretty crazy stuff.
I do. That was crazy stuff.
Yeah. That would be the only other thing I can think of that any of us on this earth have seen. But we don't want to get political on this show very often, if ever. But I think this is just something we do have to talk about because the sports world reacted to it quite strongly.
They did.
The NBA, which I think if you take the NBA, go through the numbers, the demographics, I would say African Americans are the majority of NBA fans or a strong section of that fan base. And of course, the NBA itself is definitely a majority of African Americans. So because of that and the incendiary things that Trump said along the way and how his rallies went and stuff, I think it's a little more important to the NBA. And I think they showed that this week, the NBA on TNT guys, Ernie Johnson, Charles Barkley, Kenny the Jet Smith, and Shaquille O'Neal all had something to say. They spent an entire segment on it. Lots of people applauded Ernie Johnson's take, which was to say, we support him. I'm just going to pray for him. Charles Barkley said, he's still my United States of America. He's still my president. I got to respect it. Greg Popovich absolutely went off, which, by the way, he's a bit of a bully himself. So for him to be kind of calling out Trump for being a bully.
So did Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah. Popovich said he was sick to his stomach. Just given everything that he said, you had Van Jones on CNN almost tearing up. You had another pundit I saw who said this was, you know, a stand for racism, white supremacy. The protests in Portland are crazy. Those things, to me, are ridiculous because they're not just peaceful protests. They're breaking things. It's almost riot level.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. If you're against all the things that Trump stands for, well, violence should be one of them, you would think. College kids so distraught that some schools canceled classes. This is a presidential election. What are you talking about? Canceling classes because the other guy won?
I will say this. I really hope that all the people that are protesting voted.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's the case.
I did. I saw some
because
kid
there
on Twitter.
Are, you know, we I watched the whole election coverage, and there, you know, the protests are going on in major cities, which is where, you know, the election was, you know, lost.
Yeah.
For Hillary Clinton in the smaller towns, kind of is where it was, you know, won for Donald Trump. I felt like is how they were, you know, describing it. So I really hope that those people voted. You know, it is what it is. Mm. And I was surprised because I think everyone was because all the polls suggested one thing and then another thing happened.
I think some people were afraid to say I'm with Trump, you know, or I'm for Trump just because of the judgments that might be thrown at him. They don't want to.
Right. And that's another point that I think is bears, you know, being made is that I don't believe that all Trump supporters are racists.
Right.
Bigots and animals. I just do not believe that.
I don't believe that either.
And so. I think that there's, I don't know. There's all these lines being drawn that it's half the country is one way and half the country is another way. And I do agree there's a divide. I don't think half the country is filled with hate. At least I hope not.
Gosh, I hope not. But yeah, the thing, and the write-in vote, this thing, Gary Johnson, the dude in Utah, Evan McCollum or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I saw some kid on Twitter said something like, oh, thanks for ruining our country. Thanks a lot, or whatever. And then he had taken a selfie at the poll, and at the ballot, and he had wrote in Paris Hilton for president. See, shut up. At so many crazy write-ins, which I guess I have a much different take on write-ins than a lot of Americans, as I can tell from what they've attested. If it's a two-horse race, and you vote for one that has no chance to win, I think you're throwing away your vote. I understand that you're right, and if you don't feel comfortable endorsing one person or the other, well, you're not voting for anyone. You're not voting for anyone with any chance to win, so what does it matter? It's like if there's a poker game going on, and you're at the table over here by yourself. There's no money at that table. The money's over here. You want some of this money? You have to place a bet in here. So that, I think, was a big part of this, too, because so many people didn't want to vote for either.
And I do, you know, since we worked in the media, I really hate all the media did this or the media did that. Mm-hmm. I don't care for it. But I will say, I wonder if because so much of what you heard all the time was Hillary Clinton is so far ahead in the polls that I wonder if people just thought,
yeah, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't have to vote for her. She'll get it anyway. So,
or it's already over. It's already decided because the voter turnout, which I thought would be immense this year because of all the interest and the craziness, it wasn't. It wasn't a huge voter turnout.
Here's a couple of the crazy things that happened. More than half of white women voted for Donald Trump. After all those things he said and, you know, all mm-hmm. this stuff. And then he got a third of the Latino vote? He said he was going to build a wall around Mexico. Why did...
They're bad hombres.
Why did they vote for it? I don't understand that. The craziest thing of all this, to me... Well, I shouldn't say it's crazy, but because this is America. This kind of stuff happens in America. The presidency is going to be Trump's first time holding office of any sort. Like, he's never been a mayor or a congressman or he's never been anything. Not even a councilman, I don't think. He's never held an elected office. Have we ever had a president who never held an elected office before holding the greatest elected office in our country?
That, I doubt it. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's...
We should have seen this coming when Jesse Ventura won governor of Minnesota. Jesse the Body Ventura. Or Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back, won governorship of California. Saturday Night Live's Al Franken is a congressman, senator. So I guess these things happen, but it's just insane to me to think that you have zero experience in any kind of office, and now you're here.
You know, I think it's a loud and clear sound of people are sick and tired of what's going on mm-hmm. in Washington, and that they feel like nothing gets done, and they feel like these guys and Congress and the House, they're just, you know, they keep getting reelected over and over again and nothing happens. And they, you know, it's, I think a lot of it was much more a signal of change for change's sake rather than I hate a bunch of people that don't look like me. I hope that's what it is. I still choose to believe this is the greatest country in the world. And, you know, I think we're less than a week into him being the president-elect, and he's already backed down on a lot of the things that he said he was going to do, and he isn't even in office yet. So there may be something to a campaign Trump and a president Trump, that they might be two different people.
Yeah, wait till Sarah Palin's Secretary of State and see what your opinion is.
Is that?
Oh. I don't know. I'm just joking.
I thought it'd be Ivanka.
But you know, Hillary, on the other hand, to your point about all that, she is a career politician, and she has all those scandal things hanging over her head. And you had the email thing that just was another one, and she's in bed with big corporations, and it's mm-hmm. just Washington as usual is what everything she represents. And then on top of that, she does not seem genuine. She seems like a used car salesman with that little wave that she does where she's just like making an alligator chomp with her hand.
I will say the
smiles and the laughs and just, ugh.
I DVR'd the SNL presidential election thing that they ran the night beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch it until after the election. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, oh my God, that's our president.
Yeah.
But I also, I mean, there was some parts of Hillary where Kate McKinnon, who plays her so very well, was like, my human mother did this or that. Right. I mean, she just came across as such a, you know, a robotic woman, you know, so unlikable. I wonder if, you know, what do you think if it was any other Democrat, would they have beaten Trump? I wonder. I don't know.
I thought about this. If it had been Bernie Sanders, I still don't know if he would have won because of so many people against socialism. That would have gotten out a lot of vote, too, because Bernie just says, I am a socialist, and those are my ideas. And that is so anti-Republican, you know, entrepreneurship and what's mine is mine, and I don't work for you.
Well, and there was such a huge shift in, you know, in the state of Kentucky and on a national level where everything is Republican now. I don't know if Bernie, you know, he would have been maybe too far.
Yeah.
On that side. But another thing from SNL that was really funny, because Larry David played the best Bernie Sanders ever too. And so they showed a part where he said, I'm the candidate for all ages, 18 and 19. I thought that was funny. But yeah, it's been, I mean, just a historic, unbelievable week.
It's been crazy. It's just the reaction to it is nothing like we've ever seen. Yeah. All right. We're going to get off this topic, but before we do, we will let Al, one of the guys who calls this show on a regular basis, we'll let him have his say before we move on to basketball and football talk, which is, you know, we're a sports show, so we probably should do that. Good morning, Al.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
We're good.
The climate regarding politics, race, and religion has always been a fabric of our country that has bred hate and animosity from both sides. You had three people that was assassinated back in the 60s. The 60s was a round bunch of time in our era that ushered in Muhammad Ali. Martin Luther King died, a person that was trying to unite folks of all different colors. We know what Muhammad Ali stood for when he took a stand against Vietnam. JFK and RFK unfortunately died in a time that ushered in violence. And there was a small pocket of protesters that protested on colleges that was branded or given the name Wild Power Kids. Some of them was even killed at Kent State back in that era. You had musicians, just like you do today, that used their music to come out and rail against the war and against the political climate that existed back in our day. The O.J. Simpson trial sort of showed that the race card was evident among folks that disagreed with the verdict, and they showed different reactions on YouTube where there was a whole bunch of white folks that was frowns on their face, and there was a whole bunch of African Americans that cheered that the juice was released. Even one of his lawyers, Kardashian, was dumbfounded by the verdict. He thought that O.J. was guilty.
Well, that thing, though, to me, that was a reaction to Rodney King. Like, O.J. did it. We all know O.J. did it. So that was that, but I think it was a reaction to Rodney King. Rodney King got it to where it doesn't matter whether O.J. did it or not. We need a victory here in Los Angeles. That's my take on that.
Right. But you have good people like me, you, and Mary Jo, who want a world where people can enjoy certain freedom as African-Americans, as Latinos, as gays, and as your fine partner sitting beside you as females. That females shouldn't be abused, attacked. Young folks on college campuses are raping young women, and some of them are getting off, like in the case of Baylor. The people of color want to be treated the same way as any other person. A person that votes a certain way shouldn't be mistreated, like Bill Belichick has explained why he wrote a letter to Donald Trump. But the one thing that we all forget is that theocracy should play a part in our life, that God is the one that makes the decision about where we're going to go. Whatever you believe, you're going to go to a place of heaven, or you're going to be tormented. And that God says that if you obey him, that you'll get life. And a lot of times, that is, we remove that. We take that away. You know, Utah is a Mormon state, yet they voted for Donald Trump. Well, how much does that say about their morals? Evangelicals who voted for Donald Trump, you know, what does that say about the way they feel?
The University of Utah, by the way, did come up with a way that Donald Trump could be impeached as soon as he takes office by suing him over prosecuting him for fraud and racketeering over Trump University.
The one thing that we all have to understand is that the things that we talked about, the people that feel a way about Trump or Clinton can sit in Rupp Arena. You can sit in Rupp Arena and you can see Hillary voters and Trump voters. You can see gay people sitting in that Rupp Arena crowd. You can see Hispanics sitting in that Rupp Arena crowd. But at the end of the day, we're all Wildcat fans. It's forced in a unique way bring all of that stuff together. That you can be a certain way, but I'm a Wildcat fan at the end of the day. And that is the one unique thing about sports.
What a great America this would be if we were just all Wildcat fans. I would take that. Hey, thank you, Al. We've got to get to a break, but we appreciate it so much. Thank you, sir.
We're going to let that stand, everything that Al said, and when we get back, we are done. We're done with it. You don't have to hear about it anymore. You're probably sick of hearing about it. We got a radio show. We had to say our piece. We had to talk about it. We won't anymore, and we'll talk basketball next, and then preview the UK-UT football game with Coach Steve Ortmeier coming up here for the last hour and a half of this show here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, sports fans, football season is here, and it's time to get in on the action. MyBookie.lv, an industry-leading website, is offering a 50% bonus when you join and deposit today. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Come join MyBookie.lv. With decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print, you'll experience the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. Did the game already start? Don't sweat it. MyBookie offers in-game live action on all your favorite sporting events. Call 844-900-2387 or visit us online at mybookie.lv to open an account and claim your 50% bonus. Pull out your smartphone to sign up with our user-friendly mobile site for adrenaline on demand. What are you waiting for? Get in the game. Call now to claim your 50% bonus before it's gone. That's 844-900-2387 or go online to mybookie.lv to open an account and start winning today. Only the biggest, only the best, only at mybookie.lv. Sign up today.
I was out mowing my lawn last weekend, and that's when I realized that even a small engine can have a big problem. That didn't sound good. So I went to Moses's, a one-stop shop for all your lawn equipment needs. From small engine repair to outdoor power equipment sales, Moses's does it all. And with experienced factory-trained techs, they have a reputation for fixing it right at 511 North Broadway, across from Broadway Mini Mart in Georgetown. Moses's, your local outdoor power experts that promise great service after every sale.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Today, people will wake up, and before the day is over, their life will be changed forever. There will be no time to prepare for life after today. Car crashes can't be predicted. They just happen. A workplace injury is the furthest thing from your mind. Most medical procedures go off with perfection, a few with disastrous results. For over 30 years, I've met you after the unforeseen has become a terrible reality. The law firm you choose to prepare you for life after today may well be the most important decision you ever make. All law firms are not the same. The insurance company knows who will take your case to trial and who won't. Expertise, results, and reputation should guide you in your choice. Visit forthepeople.com to learn more about us. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, Mary Jo, I'm so envious of your most recent little getaway, which was a birthday present to your husband.
Yes, and
you guys went to New Orleans for a few days and just...
We did. We released some steam and all this, but I have to tell you two quick stories. So we walk into our hotel. I am a soup... Like, I have no willpower when it comes to anyone famous. Like, I stare. I'm not... I am completely starstruck no matter who it is.
I have witnessed this.
No matter
person.
Who it is.
Yeah.
So we're waiting to get on our elevator, and the only other people waiting to get in the elevator are Jessica Biel, her son Silas Timberlake, and Silas's nanny.
Son is named Silas Timberlake? I did not know this.
Well, because she's married to Justin Timberlake.
I didn't know that either. Okay. I don't keep up with this stuff. I do know who Jessica Biel is.
My husband had no idea who they were, and I was staring so hard at her. But I'm sure she's used to like some.
He wasn't?
No. So I'm sure she's used to some, you know, level of that.
Yeah.
But I guess I made it way too creepy because we asked them to come in the elevator with us and they're like, no, thanks. But I was freaking out because I'm like, is Justin Timberlake here somewhere?
Oh, yeah.
So I Googled it. Of course, he had been there the day before surprising her. But I did see Jessica Biel. My husband had no idea who she was. But I said, you know what? The good news is this probably means it's a pretty okay hotel.
Yeah.
If she's staying here and we're staying here, we're probably all right.
Now, I saw, what is the guy who was in Weekend at Bernie's, Silverman? David Silverman? Nate Silverman?
Jonathan Silverman?
Jonathan Silverman. Is he related to Sarah Silverman?
I don't know. They look kind of alike, but
they do.
Know.
Well, I saw him in New Orleans at House of Blues one time and was like, hey, that's the Weekend at Bernie's guy. That's all. I didn't say anything to him.
I would have stared him down like crazy. But then the next morning, Saturday morning, we're just walking, you know, and we had breakfast or whatever. And so we were by the Harrah's Casino. So we were just like, oh, let's go in and drop a little bit in the slots and whatever.
Yeah.
It's like 11 o'clock in the morning. So it's pretty empty in there.
Yeah.
They have only one craps table open.
Okay.
And the honey badger's sitting there playing craps. Tyrann Mathieu.
Really?
Yes, because he was in town for the Alabama-LSU game because the Cardinals had played Thursday night football.
Oh.
So he was just there with his buddies. He is the tiniest thing.
The honey badger don't care.
He did not care. He didn't care that I stared him down for a long time. And just I was like, go play craps with him. I don't know how to play craps, but I kept telling you, he's like, I think that table is going to be a little too much.
Yeah.
A little too rich for our blood here. I just stood there and stared at Tyron Matthew for a while.
Playing craps.
But yeah, we had some celebrity sightings.
My favorite celebrity sighting, that seen a bunch. And then, of course, sometimes athletes, you don't consider celebrities
but
so
they
much
are,
because
yeah.
you get to interview them and that kind of thing. But I was in New York down Rockefeller Center area, and I'm just walking and across the street, and you know, busy New York street, across the street, I see Al Franken before he was in office. This mm-hmm. is when he was on Saturday Night Live doing I'm good enough.
Yeah.
I'm smart enough.
Stuart Smalley.
And doggone it, people like me. So I see him, and I'm giving him the stare down. I'm like, because I'm turning my head like a dog when you say something in a high-pitched voice. You know, just, is that Al Franken? Might be. And he spots me from across the street and looks at me and nods and gives like a little, yep, it's me, and I see you looking at me. And I went, that's cool.
That's cool.
That's very cool. That's that.
I mean, I made a fool of myself one night at Malone's because Steve Zahn was there, and he, like, lives here. I still am like, can't get over it. I just can't get over it.
Oh, New Orleans. Speaking of New Orleans, you know, we had that Popeyes that opened here,
mm-hmm.
which I forget about because I'm just not over on that side of town.
Right.
Which you used to work over there. Now you're over there, like, once a week by Channel 18, right?
Yeah.
I had Popeyes for the first time and maybe since it opened. I just forgot about it over there. Oh, my gosh. That stuff is so good.
Yeah. You went a couple times, and but it was right at the beginning when you didn't want to wait in line for 45 minutes.
Right, right. This time it was like I was over there for something, and it was like 11 o'clock. I'm like, well, it's kind of early, but I'm not going to be back over here. So I'm capitalizing on the proximity to Popeyes right now because you got – Taco Tico was a close contender. Mm-hmm. Not over there to get Taco Tico very often. And so at 11 o'clock, they've just fried the chicken. It hadn't been sitting around at all. They just got done, you know, putting together the lunch crowd supply. And it's hard to top. Fresh fried Popeye's chicken. I don't know if anybody beats it.
And now there's a Bojangles in Versailles, right?
That stuff's good too. Yes.
Yep.
The chicken biscuit is the way to go. Someone asked me and said somebody said they went and got Bojangles. And I said, yeah, the chicken biscuit's great. Oh, I haven't tried that. I'm like, what? That is Bojangles. That's number one. Yeah. The chicken biscuit, number one. Bow Rounds, maybe number two. Country ham biscuit, maybe number three. And then you get their fried chicken after that. I can't go. If I'm going to Bojangles.
That's the reefer scale of Bojangles.
I do not get the fried chicken there.
By the way, let's just segue into it. Derek Willis looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Wenyen Gabriel looked good. De'Aaron Fox did.
Yeah. Malik Monk.
Briscoe looked great.
Yeah. De'Aaron Fox. I mean, the most assists in a debut in school history. Topped Kyle Macy's record of 10 in 1977. It's the most assists in a season opener of any Wildcat. That topped Dirk Minifield's 11 in 1982. So De'Aaron Fox is going to be special.
Yeah.
His court vision.
Yep. And his speed.
Pretty remarkable. Yeah. Here's the thing. Calipari said he wanted to start Wenyen Gabriel, that Gabriel had been starting in practice, but he didn't want to start four freshmen, so he started Willis. Well, good thing he did. Willis scored 7 of the game's first 9 points.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how you take Willis out of the starting lineup.
No,
though.
I don't think. And then to hear.
Because his defense was good, too.
And he said, Calipari did after the game, Willis is the first one in and the last one to leave practice. He used to be the first to leave. He said he's on a mission. And then
he looked at
Willis said he let too many defensive rebounds get by him. He's not happy about it. He felt like he scored 5 points instead of 15 because they just cancel each other out, points and not getting these rebounds. He said, I just need to be a more efficient rebounder, and said he was going to start going and finding rebounding drills to do through contact before or after practice to work on it and become a better. He is a different dude altogether. It's almost like, and we say this about things all the time, blessing in disguise. What happened to him was like, look, this is a crossroads in your life. You're just going to keep going this way where you don't have your priorities straight, and you don't, or you're going to take advantage of the opportunity in front of you. And he has flipped a switch and decided that he is going to, you know, maximize his potential, because it could mean millions. He could play in the NBA.
Yeah, I really do think he could. I was also excited about what I saw from Isaac Humphries. I thought he looked like a, you know, like on the defensive side of the ball, yeah, especially, he was going to be okay. And of course, you know, that, I mean, one of the big stories is we just didn't get to see Bam because he just got into foul trouble. He scowled it.
And Calipari said, I talked to him all week about staying out of foul trouble. He said he can't turn around without fouling somebody because he's just so big. Wide body, wide shoulders, wide frame. And you just can't do it. That, like somebody had asked Calipari in post game about, do you think outside shooting could catch up to you? And that's been like the knock even before the season started, that the only weakness this team could have could be outside shooting. And Calipari is like, you keep saying it over and over again because you want it to be true, or you're going to talk it into truth, whatever, but I don't see it. It's not going to happen. The weakness will be, I think, foul trouble.
Yeah.
On the freshman. Like, you could run in Wynyan, but he's not a true big.
No.
You could run in Sasha. He's not a true big. Your only true bigs are Bam, Isaac, Ty. Ty's not going to,
no,
he's not going to do it for you. Isaac, but he can't play the whole game. So Bam has to stay out of foul trouble. There is where the Achilles heel is, I think, is foul trouble on your two true bigs. They get in foul trouble. The good news is you're so talented at guard that you could maybe overcome it. Like they did last year. They overcame not having a post presence most of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really not worried about outside shooting either. I don't know. It's,
I mean, Brad Calipari is lights out.
And they can get to the rim so easily.
Yeah.
That I don't know that it's going to be a huge thing. But they do get, you know, Cal's teams tend to fall in love with the three sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's not going in.
Well, Malik Monk, 1-for-6 from three. Yeah. He can't be that. Here is the one thing about the guards. I mean, Isaiah Briscoe had 17 points. Malik Monk had 10 points. And De'Aaron Fox had 12 points. But the three of them together, Briscoe, Fox, Monk, they combined 13 of 34 shooting. Scored 39 points. They can't go 13 of 34.
Right.
They just can't take all those outside shots. But unlike in 2010, when you had to rely on the, what was his name? Darnell Dodson. He was your shooter. And let's just say he wasn't up to Calipari's standards as far as everything you need to be doing to be a member of the Kentucky team, and that's why he didn't stick around.
Mm-hmm.
You're not relying on that guy on this team to be your shooter. You could say Eric Bledsoe, kind of like Malik Monk. They could go hot or cold.
Yep.
You know, De'Aaron Fox, he's not going to light it up from three. You got Michael Mulder, who could be a three guy for you. And then you got Derek Willis is like a Wiltshire. Mm-hmm. In that regard, as far as being able to light it up. So there's two of them. Briscoe, I mean, again, he could go hot or cold. But Wynyan Gabriel has shown that he can shoot the outside shot. So I would say you've got at least two, potential for two more, three more. I don't see it.
As long as they don't fall in love with it, I really think their offense is not built on outside shooting. It's on running and transitioning and attacking the rim.
Yeah.
You know, and because of that, they are going to get a lot of wide open looks at three.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and some of those they're going to knock down. Listen, Stephen F. Austin has not lost a conference game in how long?
No, I don't know.
You know?
Yeah.
So they're not a bad team.
They out-rebounded Kentucky. That's what really got Calipari, you know, upset about what he saw. Is just can't get out rebounded by them, and you got to be more disciplined defensively. Okay, quickly before we take a break, how about that Indiana Kansas game? 103-99 in overtime.
Yeah.
And how about Bill Self's gut? It is ginormous. It grew. I didn't know he was pregnant. Did not know that. IU's going to be pretty good. UCLA scored like 119, 116, something like that.
Talk to me when you score 150.
But that's the most they've scored since 1997. And then the UK women's hoops team, ranked number 19, beat number 14, Miami, 82-66. It was only a three-point Kentucky lead with about 3.5 minutes to go, and then UK went on a 13-0 run to close the game. Michaela Epps, 18 of her 29 points in the fourth quarter.
I already miss her. Like, I already know since she's that she's going to be gone next year, and I'm already missing her.
Evelyn Akator, 18 points, 10 rebounds. So.
And those are your two, right? Yeah. I mean, that's, you knew that going in.
Mm-hmm.
Michaela is one of the best players in the country.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And she just, she just is.
I'm so, how would I put this? Not sad, not just, I feel for her that her talent and her 4 years were not maximized by the right combination of players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just this period that Coach Mitchell has gone through with, you know, the all the attrition and just...
Like, when Adia was here, they, you know, if they hadn't run into UConn, they'd have been a Final Four team.
Yeah.
But, you know, but they always, you know, they had great seasons.
Yeah.
And I don't think Michaela's had the same.
This was kind of Adia. Like a transitional period of UK women's basketball for...
Yeah.
For whatever, all the things, you know, with the coaching changes and the staff changes and stuff. And so it didn't, she didn't get to be around the, what Matthew Mitchell would have had a few years earlier, you know, which, anyway, she's
And
she's
maybe
great.
Because everyone that's here right now wants to be here, maybe that happens this year.
Yeah, maybe it does. They do have good players. There's no doubt about that. Tonight, the UK women's hoops team plays again against Albany, a dangerous team, 7 o'clock, Memorial Coliseum. That is on the SEC Network Plus, if you want to watch that, which is, you got to go. Watch ESPN app on your phone, or if you go to watchespn.com, you can find it, or it's on Apple TV. And then I had to throw this in because Dos Isero, do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, soccer, I guess.
The U.S. had defeated Mexico in previous 4 World Cup qualifier home games in 2013, 09, 05, 01. Every score was 2-0. And then there was a bunch of scores where Mexico won 2-0. Well, last night it was... Mexico winning 2-1. So there you go.
I don't care. I know people do. I just don't. I'm just not one of them.
All right.
We got a lot of football to get to with Coach Steve Ortmeier, and we're going to start doing that
next.
Coming up next.
On the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Ride rough, ride tough, MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
It's the Arctic Cat Factory Authorized Clearance Sale going on now at MLS Power Sports. Come in today for the best prices ever on the awesome Wildcat X and X Limited and save up to $3,700. Ride away on an Altera 454x4 for only $47.99 with payments as low as $85 a month with approved credit. Don't miss out on this awesome Arctic Cat Factory Authorized Clearance event only at MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Always wear a seatbelt on ROV. Arctic Cat recommends that all riders take a training course and that they read and understand their owner's manual before operation. For safety or training, see your dealer.
Ride victoriously. Ride rough, ride tough. MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our 4 convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic banking center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown. Welcome to Nick Ryan's, where sophisticated dining meets fun. We invite you to come and treat yourself to lunch or dinner in our beautiful Southern-style dining room. Come see us today. We're located at 157 Jefferson Street. Try our homemade soups, unique fresh salads, or a local favorite entree for a lunch to remember. For dinner, let Nick Ryan's exceed your expectations with house favorites like shrimp and grits, braised beef short ribs, or bourbon brine fried chicken. Come visit Nick Ryan's for their Saturday brunch and enjoy our Bloody Mary Bar from 11 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Nick Ryan's also features slow roasted prime rib every Wednesday night. Open Monday through Saturday at 157 Jefferson Street. For reservations, call 233-7900 or visit nickryans.com. That's 233-7900. Or make an easy online reservation at nickryans.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the toughest.
Yeah. Well, these are all songs from 1984.
And this is off the album 1984,
mm-hmm.
Van Halen, featuring this video, David Lee Ross in Butt Cheek Free Chaps, I believe. Yeah. That's when you know you're a rock star, when you prance around and your butt's hanging out of your pants because it doesn't have any material there. Kentucky and Tennessee today. Pretty big game. Would have been a much bigger game had Kentucky been able to pull off that win against Georgia, because now you're talking about SEC championship potential, East Division anyway. It's noon on the SEC Network. UK opened up as a 12.5-point underdog. It's climbed to 14 last night. I don't know. It could be even worse now. Coach Steve Ortmeier is here to help us preview the game for the next hour and a half, and we're taking your calls, 381-1313. Coach, good to have you back.
Good to be here. Good to be here. Good. This has always been, ever since I came here in 2003, for me, this has always been the game.
The game.
The game. I mean, to me, and I'm not born in Kentucky, so I don't have the same feeling for Louisville that you guys do. The game has always been the SEC for me. And this,
yeah. I was going to say, is it game. Because that's a conference game?
Yeah, yeah. The SEC has always been the most important thing, and the thing that you'd hang your hat on. If you could get a win over Tennessee or a win over Louisville, I'd rather have it over Tennessee. Rather have it over both.
Yeah.
But Tennessee is a big game for me.
And you've seen a couple of crazy. I mean, 2007.
Oh.
I was at that game in 2007 mm-hmm. with my in-laws and my wife, and it was cold. And at the second half, I want to say, started with Tennessee taking maybe a 2-touchdown lead. And Kentucky did not look good that second half to start. And so he goes, "You guys want to get out of here? Let's go get something to eat." I said, "Sure." And we go and watch it on TV at the restaurant and see it. And I'm sitting there going, I almost don't want Kentucky to win because I don't want to say I was at the game that they finally broke through in four overtimes and I left.
Well, you know, we played an overtime game with a four overtimes down there, and then the next time down there in nine, it was an overtime game, and frankly, both games we outplayed Tennessee significantly and didn't win. It's been that kind of a terrible rivalry for UK. We talk about it being a rivalry game, but they've won 30 of the last 31. It's hard for that to be a rivalry, but for me, it always was a big rivalry. And to lose those two games in Knoxville was just devastating to me.
I think 2007 was when I coined the phrase, nobody wants to win this more than Jacob Tammy.
Right.
Nobody.
Yeah. And he was in tears after that game. I mean, he wanted it so bad. And then in 2009, this came up this week. Mark Story did, a great article where he said, if you're complaining and second-guessing about Eddie Grant's calls down the stretch against Georgia – with Benny Snell running the Wildcat, then you can't complain about 2009 when Kentucky's chance to beat Tennessee was led by Randall Cobb taking him down the field, and then you go away from Randall Cobb and call Morgan Newton's number, and he comes up short of the first down. And I can remember at that time I thought, well, why didn't you go to Randall Cobb right there? And Joker said, well, you know, we had just rode him. I mean, he was tired. He might not have had it, and of course, that was second guessed, but then you turn around against Georgia and Benny Snell had just run the ball 10 times straight and they go to the fade route, and everybody's going, why didn't you give it to Benny again right there? So, yeah, history repeating
that's,
itself.
That's coaching, isn't it? Like, that's you coaching. Made the greatest call ever if it sure, works. Sure. And
that's coaching. And yeah. and the Benny thing last week was, you know, the unfortunate thing was that we made the first down on the 9-yard line. It's hard against a good football team, which Georgia is, to get a ball 9 yards in that final 9 yards with Wildcat or with a pure running game without the quarterback being involved. So
it was less field to stretch.
Yeah, yeah, just a tough situation. And then we go to the fade, and the fade is really good. Good stuff, and it's and with Baker against that DB, it was a very good looking play. But it's fades are something that you got to work constantly on in practice.
Yeah.
And this team has not been that kind of a team and that kind of a team in practice. And so we were hoping rather than knowing.
Yeah.
To me,
I like that.
Once you get that first down at the 9-yard line. I think at that point you have to be a little bit more creative from there. And
yeah, that 9 yards is tough. That's not the same as the first down at the 4.
Yeah.
No.
And I think
or even first down at the 12 where you have an opportunity to make another to get another first down.
Right.
Yes.
A little bit of this I think also comes down to fear of a turnover. You know, with Steven Johnson not fully trusting because of the issues that he's had with turnovers, that you're down there and you don't even get a game-tying field goal.
He had done it the week before, and I'm sure that was on everybody's mind.
Yes.
Those things stick with you for a while, and you know, you don't like to put a player back in that situation with the game on the line, and, you know, all those things come into play. But bottom line is we just didn't get it done. We didn't get it done with a stop after that, and there are reasons for that. You've heard Coach Stoops talk about that this week. We just had some communication problems about how tight we were going to be in coverage and that kind of thing. We were more of a prevent kind of a thing, and prevent with 2.5 minutes to go in a game just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I
just can't stomach it sometimes.
Where I was sitting, there were two or three people screaming at, you know, at the field saying, get up on the man, because you're watching from above a little bit so you can see all the coverages, and everybody's playing 10 yards off across the board.
Yeah, well, apparently the coaches were screaming at them too, but Stoops pinpointed with the one play that I thought was a critical play, which was that second pass reception, the out on their sideline in front of their bench. That was just 13 yards or whatever it was, a ridiculous free field.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get a communication across to him to get that done.
We have a ton more to talk about. I mean, a ton more.
Yes.
And we're going to do it and continue with Coach Steve Ortmeier. 381-1313 is the number to call here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, gals. Can we talk seriously for a minute? It's about me, your car. You know I've been making some weird noises. And these brakes, whew, let's get something done before we break down completely. And there's only one place to go, Danville Foreign Cars. Remember they fixed your husband's boat earlier this year? They do it all. Hybrids, electric cars, all makes and models of foreign cars, vintage and new. So stop putting it off and get me to Danville Foreign Cars. While we can still get there, they're on Lebanon Road. Danville Foreign Cars, the service specialists.
Black Friday is about getting a great deal. Well, how about this one? At Tony's Steaks and Seafood, we believe in generosity. So on Black Friday only, visit our Lexington restaurant, purchase a $100 gift card, and you pay only $80. It's not valid for phone purchases, so come on in or go to tonysoflexington.com. It's valid only at the Lexington location. Drop by Tony's at 401 West Main or visit online. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood.
Don't take chances with your fine clothing. Come to Emperor's Cleaners and have your clothes treated like royalty. Emperor's Cleaners will make you look good every day. Or for special occasions, Emperor's Cleaners also preserves wedding gowns to make them look as good as new. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in leather cleaning, shirt laundry, custom work, and alterations. You'll find them in the Idle Hour Shopping Center on Richmond Road. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 until 3. Emperor's Cleaners treats you and your clothes like royalty.
Why is Seaview Outfitters as good as it is? The idea started with Steve and his boyhood trips to Alaska.
And Friday through Sunday, it's grand opening weekend. Friday night, pregame show from Seaview Outfitters. Saturday, 1 p.m., the official ribbon cutting. Sunday at 5, the announcement of the grand opening raffle winners.
West Main Street next to Tony's Steaks and Seafood, downtown Lexington. Online at SeaviewOutfitters.com. Seaview Outfitters, carrying Patagonia, Arc'teryx, Yeti, and more.
When football is back and basketball is around the corner, why not make your game day experience an incredible dining experience as well? Come to Tony's Steaks and Seafood. Before or after the football game. Big screen TVs, fantastic service, wonderful atmosphere, and the best food anywhere. And during basketball at Rupp, you'll see a sign that says, "You're a minute away from the best steak you've ever had." Tony's, on Main Street, across from Triangle Park. Visit TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Ah, Sister Christian.
Night Ranger.
You almost worrying that you won't last to say. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I remember the video for this.
I do too.
Of course.
I do too.
Kentucky and Tennessee at noon on the SEC Network down there in Rocky Top. And Kentucky, I mean, a 2-touchdown underdog. It's hard to believe that.
Here's the reason for that. I can make that probably pretty clear. Kentucky gives up 5 points a game more than Tennessee does. Kentucky scores 5 points a game more than Tennessee does. And you got the home field, which is supposed to be 3 points. So there it is.
That it is right there.
Yep, that makes sense. Now, are we... So Tennessee starts off the season blazing hot, 6-0. They're ranked in the top 10, but they have lost three straight. Coach, is that because of injuries? And I know the injuries has something to do with it, but what's the reason that they started one way and the last few weeks have seemed to go another?
I know one reason. Alabama. There's one reason.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, this has been a very strange season for Tennessee, as it has for UK, in my opinion. This is a very strange season. We started off this season with 2 weeks that were just unbelievable, in which you thought we don't actually have a football team in Kentucky. Tennessee ran into a situation which they came off of 2015, which was an outstanding year for them and a big bowl game win, and they had all their players back and that kind of. They were very, very young. They were freshmen going to sophomores and sophomores going to juniors, and they were picked to win the SEC East almost unanimously. So I think right off the bat, people misread that. People had Tennessee a year ahead of where they really were, and then for some reason, and part of it was injuries, because this has been an injury-devastated team this year. For some reason, they started unbelievably slowly. They were down in their first six games or something by double digits at some point during the game, had to come back and make miraculous wins at the end, and you can attribute a lot of that to the quarterback. Dobbs did a good job. But Dobbs also put him in that position.
Yeah.
So
does that eventually catch up to you, too, you have to come back?
It does. Caught up to him at A&M when they finally got their first loss. And then Bama just pummeled them the next week. And that was partly Lane Kiffin and partly the fact that Bama's just a lot better team and partly the fact that Tennessee's a beat-up football team. But
then South Carolina.
Well, yeah. South Carolina and Vanderbilt are not getting the respect that they should be getting.
Defensively,
teams. Both of those two teams are quality football teams, and if you don't show up to play against them, they're gonna be tough, as South Carolina showed when they played Vanderbilt, but. I think that this game we're going into today, This is Neyland Stadium. There's 102,500 people. But it's not a tough place to play. It's a fun place to play because the atmosphere is football.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's not like playing at Florida. It's not like playing at LSU. It's just not. It's just a big stadium with a big home field crowd, but not a tough place. And that's why I think we always competed very successfully down there, at least while we were here. And I would look for it to be that again today. If we can do certain things today, if we can start fast, and if we can not win the turnover game, if we can exclude the turnover game, no turnovers and a fast start, and we can win this game.
Well, let's get to the phones before we go to the top of the hour. Tim is on the line. Thanks for holding. Tim, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Tim.
How are you, Mary Jo?
So good. Thank you.
I was going to tell you, Coach Al Ortmeyer, I think one of the problems Tennessee has is they've got a turmoil in their program, and they don't have 90 guys that are all on the same page.
Well, you know, that's a product of about a 7 or 8 year deal. Really, ever since Philip Fulmer left down there, they've had internal problems almost on a yearly basis, and I don't know the cause of that. I don't know what the atmosphere down there is, and all of a sudden here it has hit them again. I mean, Hurd just up and left the team. So you're right. There's some internal turmoil down there.
You know, something else that happened this week is this running back Alvin Kamara said that he was going to enter the NFL draft. You know, Alvin Kamara had been injured, and he's coming back this week. Really good player for them. He broke the UT record for single-game all-purpose yards with 312 against Texas A&M, passing the likes of Chuck Webb. And he announced this week that he's going to enter the NFL draft after the season. That's an odd time to make that statement.
It is. And, you know, I didn't see that, but, hey, you brightened up my day because I personally think Kamara's a very good player. I think Kamara's a better player than Hurd was myself.
Yeah.
And he had a senior year yet to go, even though he's a junior college transfer. He had one more year, so that's a major plus for UK.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, the real reason
The real reason I called is you guys were talking about running into celebs and having lockjaw and whatnot. Now, of course, this goes under the category where I knew the guy before he really became famous.
Okay.
I grew up in Paducah and got to playing golf because back in the late 70s and early 80s, Paducah was a hotbed, and we had lots of good golfers. And so I'd taken lessons and gotten to not flirting with shooting 70s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Perry was reigning high school state champion.
Okay.
Showed up to play golf, and they said, need the 40, yeah, come on, play. Well, I did not want to embarrass myself playing with Kenny Perry, but I broke 80 for the first time in my life.
Wow.
That's awesome.
You know, got up and down saving par, 7 or 8 holes in a row in the backside. You know, so I was very proud of myself.
No doubt. Yeah, that's a story that obviously you can carry all the way through.
Kenny shot a very nice lazy 70-71, but he could not cut a wedge inside 30 feet of a hole to save his life. And I knew when he learned to hit that cut wedge 5 feet in the end to the hole, he was going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, Tom Lehman is from my hometown in Alexandria, Minnesota. So I grew up with his mom was my English teacher, and his dad was our insurance agent. I mean, he's small. Yeah. So I've known Tom Lehman for a long time.
Kenny is not an obnoxious big shot.
He's so gracious.
I've gotten to cover him a couple times, and one time did a story on him when he came back to Valhalla for the PGA Senior Championship.
Yep.
This was after you know, they had won the
Ryder Cup.
Ryder Cup. And it was a great, great story. He just kind of said, I went all in for the Ryder Cup coming to Kentucky.
Yep.
I mean, I gave it everything I had to make sure I took extra practice and did all that. And he said, it's not the same now. You know, I'm just not quite right. The same for me now. But remarkable career that he has
and
had.
And, of course,
too.
I like what I've heard literally when he's home in Franklin.
Yeah.
If people show up and need a fourth to finish a foursome, he'll go get the clubs and play.
That's cool.
Wow. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Hey,
thanks,
Tim.
Thank you for the story. When I lived in Columbus, Georgia, I ran into Larry Mize in the grocery store, like Masters champ. And then I got to cover the Masters, and all former Masters champs, you know, get to come back. And so every year we would go up there and interview him about
you know, his win, but he would always talk about, yeah, it's pretty cool to still go to the dinner and see all these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, back with more football talk here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show with Coach Steve Ortmeier.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
J. Render's Southern Table and Bar is your game day tailgate headquarters before, during, and after the game. Pre-order tailgate packages online at jrendersbbq.com for pork, brisket, wings, chicken, and all the sides to kick off your game day. Not going to the game? Join J. Render's Southern Table and Bar for happy hour pricing with 75-cent jumbo smoked wings and bucket of beer specials during all UK games. And all day on Sunday for the NFL. J. Render's Southern Table and Bar, your tailgate headquarters. 3191 Beaumont Center Circle. If it's not smoked, it's not barbecue.
You can trust your car to Fleet Doc.
Most families and businesses have a fleet of vehicles, and everyone needs a vehicle doctor they can trust. At Fleet Doc, we are a trusted vehicle doctor. From oil changes to complete engine replacements, Fleet Doc does it all, and at fleet prices. See them for all your service needs, and tire inspections are always free on Contract Street near Greens Toyota or at fleet-doc.com.
Fleet Doc's got the cure that your car needs. Fleet Doc Drive!
What another satisfied customer, Ann from Lexington, has to say about Barkley Blevins.
They treat me like family. I've watched John grow up over the 30 plus years they've worked with me. They've replaced water heaters, sump pumps, sewer pipes, furnaces, air conditioners, toilets, and faucets. They've done it all. And I like when the technician sits and chats with me at the kitchen table while filling out the ticket. There's no one else I would trust, and you should trust them too.
Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Check them out at BarkleyBlevins.com.
Hit up your holidays during the Holiday Hot Tub event at Aurora. From November 6th through the 20th, finance your new hot tub at 0% APR for 36 months. Don't miss this chance to get the best deals on the best brands of hot tubs during the Holiday Hot Tub event at Aurora. November 6th through November 20th. Finance a brand new hot tub at 0% APR for 36 months only at Aurora Pools and Spas, 1512 Colesbury Circle in Lexington, or call them at 299-2932. Heat up your holidays during the Holiday Hot Tub event at Aurora. Suggins Bar and Grill opened its doors 30 years ago and has become a Chevy Chase tradition. It's the best in family casual dining, offering Southern comfort favorites such as fried banana peppers, award-winning homemade chili, fried catfish, and of course their big, juicy half-pound hamburgers with toppings you choose, all at prices that will make you glad you brought the whole family. Stop by and check out their daily lunch and dinner specials made fresh daily. Suggins Bar and Grill on Romney Road, open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
The following is an advertisement.
When someone has an accident or an on-the-job injury, our main goal is to make sure our clients are fairly compensated. Fairly compensated for their injuries, bills, loss of income, future and past, and for pain and suffering, and for the loss of enjoyment of life. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. In most of our cases, we're able to reach a settlement quickly without a need for trial, and our clients are able to get on with their lives. But to recover what we believe is fair, it's important that the insurance company know a law firm goes to trial and gets results. You see, not all law firms are the same. I've seen so many come and go these past 27 years. To reach a fair settlement, hire a firm with a reputation for verdicts at trial. Visit ForThePeople.com and review our verdicts. Trial verdicts are the best weapon for a fair settlement. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
Offices Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Oh, good to have you back, Mary Jo.
Good to be back, yes. Daniel.
I caught a little bit of Hey Kentucky, just a piece of it, that you were on this week. What day were you on this week? Thursday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll be on Monday next week.
Are you having fun with that?
It is fun.
Yeah.
It is fun. Sam got to be on it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Yeah, so he was like the third person that... So Matt and whoever the co-host is do a little game of big deal or no deal whatever. And they have a third person that comes in and asks the questions. So Sam did that a couple weeks ago.
Ah.
And he was pretty excited. But they had given him scripts that said, Matt and Mom, what do you think? And Sam was like, I don't want to call you Mom. So he would go, Matt and Mary Jo, what do you think?
Oh, that's good. He had, I heard him say, I didn't see it, but I heard Matt say that he was going to have Jed Wills and Walker Wood on his show yesterday. And he said something about it would coincide with the UK game, so I know you're not going to watch, just DVR it, but I would like to see it. Have you
I have not.
Because, you know, Jed Wills, the Lafayette offensive lineman who's supposedly committed to Alabama, reportedly, allegedly, but he hasn't come out and said, and the season has gotten to a point where any loss by Lafayette and it's over, and he likely will announce then where he's going.
Yeah.
But Jed Wills is still, I mean, I think he went to the UK game last weekend, I believe. He was at the Georgia game. Walker Wood, of course, the quarterback at Lafayette, is a Kentucky commit.
Mm-hmm.
Lafayette won last night.
And he's going to enroll early, too, Walker Wood.
Yes. And I've been over there a few times this year, but two back-to-back weeks now, and I still get the feeling from everyone around there, including his teammates, who unsolicited will tell you where he's going to school.
Mm-hmm.
You get the feeling that it is Alabama. But you know who I saw on the sideline last night? Jed Wills' little brother, who looks just like him. Just like him. And he is...
Is he little?
He is probably 12, 11, 12. I had a coach tell me that they've already seen him working, the kid blocking, mm-hmm. Jed Wills' little brother, and said his mannerisms and his footwork and stuff are like dead on, like it's a genetic thing, and they're like, we got another one.
Yeah,
just give us a few years, we got another one. And he looks dead on him. I mean, it's remarkable. It looks like Jed Wills Jr. So they'll have another one if Kentucky misses out on Jed, they need to start recruiting his 12-year-old brother right now. All right, Tennessee and Kentucky. I look over the series history mm-hmm. of these things. And, you know, the series history between these two, it's horribly one-sided. 30 of the last 31 years have gone to Tennessee. You get to looking at the very beginning of this thing. The series began in 1893. UK won that game 56-0. And the first nine games between these two, from 1893 to 1911, all resulted in a shutout by one side or the other. UK shut out UT five times, and UK was shut out three times. And the game in 1907 ended in a dramatic 0-0 tie. Would anyone stand for that today? No. And we go to 100 overtimes before they end the game at 0-0.
You know, and we talk about this series being lopsided, and they won 30 of the last 31 games, and we won the one game where we probably shouldn't have won.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's true.
So I remember that game well. Matt Rourke being carted off on the shoulders, and Joker was, he was put up on the shoulders too, and I remember seeing Joker, and I had a smile on my face, because anytime I cover any event and it's a big win, I'm just smiling too. I'm just happy for all those people
yeah.
and what it means to them and knowing it, that you feel a part of it. So I see Joker and I'm smiling at him, and I just kind of nod at him, and he looks at me, gives me a wink like, we did it. Like, I didn't have anything to do with it. But, you know, that kind of feeling. I'll never forget it, because I'm standing on the sideline, and Tony Neely, the longtime SID over there at Kentucky, is standing next to me. And when I was coming up through UK and a student in the journalism program, Tony helped me get interviews with Coach Hal Mumme and players and stuff like that, and helped me out to do my assignments, to do my stories for class. So that's how I first got to know Tony, was when I was a student at UK. And so here I am, well, some 12, 13, 14 years later, after I've graduated and standing on the sideline when Kentucky finally beats Tennessee. And when it happens, it's just me and Tony. So Tony's got nowhere to go. It's happened. Kentucky's beaten Tennessee, ended the streak. And Tony looks at me, and then he just gives me the biggest bear hug ever. And just, I could tell so much. It meant so much.
Yeah. to him. It meant so much to a lot of people.
Yeah, that was it was a cool moment.
All right, getting back to this game, Coach.
Yep.
Josh Dobbs has been pretty spectacular in playing against Kentucky. And I know that because Dan sent me an email at 3:20 a.m. that says, in three starts versus UK, he's thrown for 729 yards, seven touchdowns, rushed for another four touchdowns. How do they get to him today and rattle him?
He's been magnificent in his games against UK, and he's been pretty good his entire career. As we said just a little while ago, he's kind of responsible for the holes that they've been in at the start of these games. He has tended to throw more interceptions this year, and he hasn't run the ball quite as effectively this year, and probably that is because he's had injuries around him. But the way they control Dobbs today, I believe, is exactly what Stoops says. They have to play total team defense. It's not that somebody is going to have a responsibility to be able to control Dobbs, because he has his own mannerisms. He is a pretty effective runner when he's outside the red zone. We've got to be aware of that and got to shut him down. I hope that Kamara still isn't full speed, because Kamara really is an excellent complement for him. But they're going to play with a little sophomore running back. He's much like Boom today. At least they think he's like Boom. I don't think there's another Boom out there. but he's an inexperienced kid and won't help Dobbs as much in the running game as Hurd did and as Kamara would. But we've got to be aware that when Dobbs gets to the red zone, they tend to want to throw the ball. They tend to want to throw touchdowns in the red zone. And I think just knowing these tendencies, being able to have looked at as much as they have of him this year, good and bad, whereas in previous years it was mostly good, we ought to be able to get a pretty good game plan going against him today. He will turn the ball over. If you hit him, he will give you the ball.
Yeah, the turnovers. Tennessee's not so good at it either. I mean, they've turned the ball over quite a bit.
We're talking about the two worst teams in the conference. They're 13th and we're 14th, and yet we're far worse than they are. We're a minus 10 turnover factor. They're a minus 4.
Yeah. Back to Kamara. You know, I mentioned last segment that he's got the all-purpose yards record for a single game, which he did against Texas A&M, so he didn't do it against a slouch. And the next guy on the list was Chuck Webb. Remember Cobweb? Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
You don't remember that?
No.
It was it Reggie Cobb and Chuck Webb, the two running backs from Tennessee? Those guys were. And Cordero Patterson, you're familiar with him.
I'm familiar with him dropping a wide open touchdown pass, which would have beaten the Lions last week. Yes, if that's the same one you're talking about, quite familiar with him.
He's third on the all-purpose yards list in a single game. And the other one, Willie Gault. My man. From the 1985 Chicago Bears.
I was with Willie for a long time, as you
really?
Know.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
With the Raiders.
Raiders, yeah.
Including Willie Gault, a gold medal Olympic relay team on that football team.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, a whole bunch of gold medals.
Was Ronaldo Nehemiah? Was he on there?
Well, no. We tried Nehemiah out, though.
Yeah.
Nehemiah just didn't make it, but we had him there. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, Willie Gault brings back such good memories.
Yeah, Sam Grady. Yeah, now, Sam Grady's a Tennessee kid, too, but he wasn't as good at UT as he was in the NFL.
Well, this Tennessee that we're seeing now is still not like the one that I grew up with that had, like, I can remember 1991, I believe it was, junior in high school, went down to Knoxville to watch Notre Dame, Tennessee. Notre Dame was ranked number one. Tennessee was number five. And Tennessee had Carl Pickens and Alvin Harper. I mean, those were the two guys that were your receivers. Notre Dame had, like, Chris Zorich and Michael Stonebreaker, and Todd Light, and that was a remarkable game. It came down to the last play of the game.
This UT group, as I say, since Philip Fulmer, this is not the same UT of your father or whatever you want to talk about. they do not have the collection of athletes that they've had, and I think that one of the things we were talking about this in the break. One of the things that has helped Butch Jones is that he hit it at a good time. He hit it at a time where there were players in Knoxville and Nashville and Clarksville, and he got them. And that is what has built this recent team, and that's what built this team we're going to compete against today. This defensive end from Nashville, from Brentwood Academy, Barnett, is the real deal. He is the real deal.
We'll talk about him some more next. Butch Jones, by the way, does have the Vols bowl eligible for a third straight year, and it's the first time that they've done that at UT since 2002-04, which was the end of a 16.
Yeah, he's done a good job in his coaching career. He's been a head coach for 9 years, and seven of them they've been to bowls, they're bowl eligible again this year. Now, this game is interesting today in this topsy-turvy SEC East, and we're taking advantage of an SEC East that's a little bit down at this point. Even though we lost the game last week where we could have been playing for the SEC championship today, we are still playing for second place. We win, we're second in the SEC East at the end of the year. Worst case scenario, we could win the SEC East because Florida's having their own injury problems.
Yeah.
And they've got to play LSU, and they've got to play
South Carolina.
Yeah, they
and they did not look good against Arkansas.
Yeah, they're not home free because their offense is really stagnant right now. So there's a chance that we could back into this thing. Butch Jones is trying to back into this thing because he's got three losses, and he has the tiebreaker with Florida. We don't.
Yeah. Listen, whoever wins is backing into this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the East winner's backing in.
Essentially. In fact, the only guys that might not be backing into it might be us.
Yeah.
Because nobody expected us to be around at the finish.
Exactly.
Now, for Tennessee, though, to close out, they did beat Florida and Georgia. So if they were to close it out and win out,
They would go.
Yeah.
They would go.
All right,
know that that's a plus for them either because you know who they're playing.
Yeah. No. It's I believe the West Side is going to win.
Yeah. I think you're right about that. We'll take a break. Be back with more with Coach Ortmeier. Talk about this Kentucky-Tennessee game on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mike and Mike with reaction to the Cubs winning the World Series.
Don't lick your emotions.
I need you to stop talking. Just stop talking.
Alex Rodriguez.
I don't remember the last time I saw a transformation from a team that was so undisciplined at the plate. It looked like nine-weight bogs where they wouldn't swing at a pitch outside of the strike zone.
Jessica Mendoza.
People are stopping their cars, jumping around. I mean, it was like nothing I have ever seen.
Mike and Mike
on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
For a long, long time in Lexington, Hearst Business Supply and Furniture Solutions has been downtown. Well, they've moved. There's a new location at 500 Buck Place off Greendale Road with a fabulous new working showroom. You can see your furniture in action. Just visit them, tour the new facility, or they can come to you. Take a chair test drive. They have it all for your office at Hearst. Office products, break room, bathroom, space planning, furniture, everything from the boardroom to the bathroom. No order too small or too large. No space too small or too large. No job is too small or too large. It's local, family-owned, third generation, and it's owned by a wonderful woman named Hope Hearst. Are you the person who orders office products, coffee, break room, bathroom supplies? Get it from one source. Visit HearstGroup.net with everything for the office. Think Hearst first. Hey, it's Matthew Lawrence, and I want to tell you about the best dentist I've ever had. His name is David Monson, and he's at Monson Family Dentistry. He does all aspects of dentistry, implants, crowns and bridges, root canals, dentures, Invisalign for adults and for kids. He's the best dentist for my kids that I've ever had. He explains thoroughly every treatment option and centers it around you. It's David Monson at MonsonFamilyDentistry.com.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you, and
the Mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
In the break there, we were talking about some of the football games. Ole Miss, Texas A&M is one of them. That's at 7 o'clock tonight right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Chad Kelly's out, right?
And Trevor Knight.
Trevor Knight's out, too.
Both quarterbacks.
This is the headless horseman game.
Yeah, they were going to redshirt this guy, right? The quarterback that they are going with?
Yeah. And at 3:30 today, UK football post-game show with Neil Jackson and our buddy Mike Harmon. That'll be at 3:30 here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Well, this game here, it's going to be important for Kentucky to protect Stephen Johnson when they pass the ball. And Kentucky is going to have to be effective at some point throwing the ball, I think, today. And Stephen Johnson said this week that it has been a huge emphasis in practice, finding ways to protect against what Tennessee does in the pass rush. And chief pass rusher, Derek Barnett, he's just a junior, and he is 3 sacks away from Reggie White's school record.
Yeah, he's leading the country in sacks and tackles for losses, I believe. Maybe 3rd in the country in the combined total. But he's a premier guy, and we're going to be a real problem for us today on how we're going to handle our protection. I would guess that we're going to have to involve a tight end with Mosier because Mosier's the guy responsible on that side for him. But I think he's going to need help. Mosier got nicked in the Georgia game too.
Yeah.
So no telling how 100% he's going to be. But
can Landon Young play tight end today? Landon, and Mosier Landon over there?
Yeah, that's an idea. But Landon's liable to be the left tackle for part of the day. So this is going to be one of the challenges of this game is how to protect when we want to throw the ball.
And the secondary for Tennessee got weakened quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, last week when Evan Berry went down with a season-ending injury, and they'd kind of been thin in the secondary anyway. So you kind of want to be able to attack down the field.
Yes.
But they've got to give Stephen Johnson some time because he doesn't get rid of the ball quickly.
No, he doesn't. And they don't want him to hold the ball.
No.
But they're going to have to keep this Barnett off of him anyway, no matter what they do. And I think they want to involve the receivers because this receiver core is more talented than they have shown this year. I think they want to get this into their offensive play a little bit. These guys have done a tremendous job blocking for the run game and will again today. But I think they'd like to involve some of these guys in big plays with their feet after whether they be short catches, which I think is Johnson's game, rather than throwing it deep. Although he hit Bidette with a very nice play last week and has hit Bidette.
He's thrown a couple nice, real deep balls.
He's hit Bidette twice with that play, and yet he's not going to be able to stand there and hold it today. And we all know that when he gets attacked in the pocket, he's a bit suspect protecting the football.
Last week against Georgia, when he gets in that phone booth, he's got to protect the ball, and it came out and against Mississippi State running the ball. So it's almost you don't want to pass because you don't want him to scramble and lose the football. Because once he gets out in the open field, there are sharks in the water that know his
This SEC is a different deal for him. The SEC defensive players are a different breed than he's been faced with his last 2 years in junior college.
Yeah. But I tell you what, I don't know. It's such a different – let me ask you this about Coach Rich Brooks, because this is what's in my mind about how Brooks had success. As I felt – one of his biggest philosophies was avoid negative plays. So that means if we're conservative,
then that's what we're doing to avoid negative plays and give our defense a chance. And that is our best recipe for building this program, winning games, and going forward. And I feel like that's kind of where Kentucky is at this moment, because the quarterback they had thought they were going to have, who was looked like a pretty good passer.
Who, by the way, is having back surgery now.
Yes, he is done for the season. He's going to have back surgery over Thanksgiving, and Stoops said he would hope to have him back in the latter part of spring practice in some capacity. But with Steven Johnson's issues now, it seems like that's kind of the thinking is, let's play this conservative.
I think you're right, and I think Eddie Grant is a lot that way too. I think Grant has Grant went into the year thinking that we could throw the ball around some, mm-hmm. because you get that when you come to the University of Kentucky, that's so much of an atmosphere around here that you're a little hesitant not to give that a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Grant figured out that wasn't the way for us to go this year. Yeah. And we have these two backs, and we have this offensive line that are very talented guys at being able to do it with the run game. But I think they're going to want to involve these receivers more, because we do have a legitimate receiver core now. I think Bidette's a genuine guy. I thought Johnson was until last week when he turned the ball over, mm-hmm. and I'm like Brooks on that. I'd be death on that. But
Taven Richardson is very talented. Yeah. We've seen very little of him. But yeah. Dorian Baker, obviously. Yep.
They've got some good guys. They seem to have gone away from C.J. Conrad a little bit.
Well, they've never gone to him.
Yeah.
They never got to him. And I'm not sure they can today either, because I really believe that they're going to have to utilize him to keep Barnett off us.
You know, JoJo Kemp is supposed to be back this week.
That should be a plus. Yeah. That should be a plus to give Benny a little break.
Yeah.
Because JoJo is an effective guy in the wishbone also, in the
Wildcat.
Wildcat also.
And he has some remarkable streak. I can't remember what it is, but it is a ton of carries.
256 or something.
Yeah, without a fumble.
Without a fumble. So that's a plus, and that's a ball security situation for us. That's a plus.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this, since we're talking about passing the ball a little bit. Did you notice that when Mark Stoops was asked on Monday about Gunnar Hoke and going to him this late in the season, would you still go to him because of the redshirt situation? And he mentions Luke Wright, the walk-on from Cincinnati, has been extremely impressive, and that he is anxious to see him play.
He's liked him in practice. He's liked some of the things he's done in practice, and I think rather than take a redshirt off of Hoke at this point, unless we just got wiped out, unless something happened permanently to Johnson, I don't think he would do that at this point in the season. I think that he'll protect that redshirt year. But it wouldn't surprise me at all, particularly next week, to see some of Wright.
Yeah.
Is it tough to throw someone in that situation, though, at Knoxville? I know you said it's not a tough place to play, but it's still.
Yeah, it's tough at Knoxville. I don't anticipate him doing it today.
Yeah, you won't see Luke Wright today, but Austin Peay next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
All right. We're going to take a break.
Man, if we just had that Southern Miss game back, can you imagine?
Had they known Benny Snell was who he was, it would have been a different deal against Southern Miss. No doubt about it. We're going to take a break. Be back with more Coach Steve Ortmeyer here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our four convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic Banking Center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown.
Can you believe it's already November?
No, it's like the holidays are almost here.
I know, right? I'm trying to get all of my parties and events planned. Have you figured out your schedule?
Well, Kentucky Ballet Theater is doing their Nutcracker the weekend before Thanksgiving at Transylvania University, so I won't have to skip out on friends' parties.
Oh, how perfect! The Nutcracker is my favorite holiday event, and just before all of my family festivities begin. When did you say it was again?
The Kentucky Ballet Theater presents The Nutcracker at Transylvania University's Hagen Hall on Saturday, November 19th at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Information is on their website at kyballet.com.
I want to get my tickets now. Here's their phone number, 859-252-5245. There's easy parking, and I've heard it's beautiful. How much are tickets?
It's $20 for students and children, and $25 to $30 for adults. What a deal. That's my favorite holiday performance.
Looks like we'll be celebrating together on Saturday, November 19th. I just bought us tickets at kyballet.com, and they'll be waiting for us at Will Call.
Fantastic. I'll see you there.
kyballet.com or 859-252-5245. The Nutcracker, November 19th at 2 and 7 p.m.
Welcome to Nick Ryan's, where sophisticated dining meets fun. We invite you to come and treat yourself to lunch or dinner in our beautiful Southern-style dining room. Come see us today. We're located at 157 Jefferson Street. Try our homemade soups, unique fresh salads, or a local favorite entree for a lunch to remember. For dinner, let Nick Ryan's exceed your expectations with house favorites like shrimp and grits, braised beef short ribs, or bourbon brine fried chicken. Come visit Nick Ryan's for their Saturday brunch and enjoy our Bloody Mary Bar from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Nick Ryan's also features slow roasted prime rib every Wednesday night. Open Monday through Saturday at 157 Jefferson Street. For reservations, call 233-7900 or visit nickryans.com. That's 233-7900. Or make an easy online reservation at nickryans.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I'm curious, Mary Jo, do you know who this is?
I feel like this is Motley Crue.
Close. It's Rat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this Round and Round?
Yeah. Off of Invasion of Privacy.
Sure.
Those videos, by the way, when you're a teenage boy, and the videos that Motley Crue had and that Rat had and those guys, those were good videos.
White Snake.
Oh. Tawny Catane on a Jaguar.
You kidding me?
All right, back to UK, Tennessee, coming up in just about 30 minutes. They'll kick off from Knoxville. And one of the things that I noticed looking over this game was Tennessee ranks third in the country in kickoff return. They pick up nearly 30 yards, 28.46 per kickoff return. So Tennessee's going to get good field position when they receive the ball. Kentucky, when it doesn't get a first down and has to punt, next to last in the SEC with a net punt of 35.73 yards per game. So field position in a game like this is extremely important, I would think.
It really is, and you've hit something right on the head. Bush Jones has done a good job of creating yardage with his special teams game since he's been there. They've had good returners. They have good backup returners. So even though they lost Devin Berry, they're pretty well situated for today. And the special teams game, even though it has improved significantly at UK this year, we still have a major problem with our punter.
Yeah,
He's just has not performed to what he needs to yet. In fact, we've kind of gotten lucky. He's kicked the ball so poorly that nobody's been able to run it back against us. So let's hope that continues today. But but I'll match them with I'll match their kickoff return with our kickoff coverage because McGinnis is close to being the real deal as a kickoff guy, and we can get that covered. So I don't anticipate a great fall off in that area today. But special teams is a strong situation for UT.
And Cash Daniel is a holy terror on kickoff coverage.
Yeah, he's doing very good. He really is.
What about some other matchups that you see, Coach?
The other matchups that I see that are kind of interesting, these two teams, as we talked earlier, their offensive and defensive stats are virtually even. I mean, UT gives up 391 yards a game. We give up 390. So the matchups are very similar. I think where they really come into play today is our O-line versus their D-line,
mm-hmm.
because that's our strength.
Yes.
And they are missing a couple of guys from earlier in the year on their D-line, and being able to run the ball and control the football, if we can get off to a fast start today, get ahead in the game, and you've seen how Grand and Stoops want to play it when you get ahead in a game, and I think that's a real good aspect for us as far as matchups go, assuming Mosier can stay in the lineup. Landon Young will do fine in the run game, but let's run the ball rather than have to throw it and come from behind against.
But you've got a double team Barnett.
Yeah, I think you do. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he can be singled by anybody really. I think he's as good as there is in this league. A&M has a couple of guys that are very similar, but this guy is a dominant player when you turn him loose on your quarterback. I think that two outstanding areas that we need to continue to win that come down. The only two differences in these teams really are third down conversions.
Yeah.
Tennessee it gives up 1 in 3 third down conversions. We give up almost half of ours. So that's a significant advantage for Tennessee. We're going to have to improve on third down today. Third down can be critical in this game. But the thing we have going for us that's critical is we're second in the league in penalties, and UT
fewest.
Is like 12th or 13th.
Yeah, fewest penalties.
So we can gain fewest penalties. So we can gain 20 or 30 yards a game in the penalty aspect of this game. I think those are two matchups that jump out at you right away.
Tackles for loss. Tennessee is at nearly 8 a game.
Yeah, that's because of
15th in the country.
That's because of Barnett.
Yeah.
He's so prolific.
Yeah, this dude Barnett, by the way, he has had 6 tackles for a loss in 2 career games against Kentucky, 4 sacks, 14 total tackles. If your strength is running backs, running game, and you've got Boom and Benny, and then you add JoJo back to it, and you have a 9-man rotation on the offensive line, is it crazy to stack the line where you put 6 guys on the line?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times it's better to run at a player like Barnett than let him run you down. So I would look for some of that today. I would look for being able to run the Wildcat and run things inside of Barnett to make him play the run game.
Because you think he's got to be licking his chops knowing Steven Johnson's proclivity to
lose
the ball.
And having played, having had the last 2 games he's had against us, he's probably looking. There are several UT guys looking forward to certain things today. Probably Dobbs is too. But
yeah.
Those are the things we have to take away from him.
Looking at today's college football schedule, the rest of the other games going on, I do want to mention that Kentucky State, coached by John L. Smith. Do you know mm-hmm. John L. Smith?
Coach, yes, O'Brien? I do. Yes.
He's
doing a good job over there.
Yeah, he's coming to Kentucky State in his first season here, and he's got Kentucky State playing Fort Valley State at the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery today at 7 o'clock in the SIAC title game.
And he's the coach of the year, too.
First ever SIAC championship game appearance for KSU. They joined the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, the SIAC, in 1997 did Kentucky State. And this is the first time since joining that they've gone to the championship game. And John L. Smith is, I think, a big reason for it, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's obvious. And I think he'll start to pick some players up and increase the ability of that program.
Other games today at noon, you got Mississippi State at Alabama, South Carolina at Florida. That game is huge because if Kentucky could win today.
How about the Mississippi State at Alabama game? Mississippi State just beat A&M, right?
Yeah.
They are a 30-point underdog.
Yeah. And I think Alabama covers.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Roll Tide.
Yeah. But I am interested in that Auburn-Georgia game.
Auburn-Georgia will be pretty spectacular, I think. Because Georgia... I don't know what the spread is. I would think Auburn's probably favored.
They are, like maybe 10.
Yeah,
but that's a war. That's a war.
Oh yeah,
that's a real rivalry game.
Oh yeah, that is the Deep South's oldest rivalry. I mean, they sell T-shirts that say Auburn, Georgia. I've actually covered a couple of those, and it's
And you know,
it's
there's
deep.
There is talk. There has been talk that that might be the only way that Alabama trips up.
Auburn.
Is Auburn.
Auburn.
And so if Auburn wins today.
Well, you saw what LSU did against Alabama last week, and Auburn's run game is pretty darn good.
Yeah, if Auburn wins today, they're right in the mix to play for the championship, basically, next week. But I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia didn't beat them up at least some today. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Auburn wins the game, but I think Georgia will make it physical for them.
That's the 3:30 CBS game. Other SEC games, Ole Miss at Texas A&M tonight at 7:30 on the SEC Network that we mentioned. At 7 o'clock on ESPN, it's 24 LSU at 25 Arkansas. That's going to be a fist fight right
there.
That
will be a fist fight also, and it's a very interesting game, although it doesn't have any meaning in the standings. But the interesting game to me is Vanderbilt at Missouri. In fact, I can't figure out how Missouri is favored, but they are.
There's been a couple, I couldn't figure out why they were against Kentucky either. You know what I'm interested in a little bit? I'm going to keep an eye on App State at Troy.
Yeah.
Because Troy has had one loss this year,
that's
and it was
fun game.
6 points to Clemson.
Yeah, that's a fun game to follow today because those are two really, really good football teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's at 3:30 on ESPN3. Also at 3:30 on ESPN3 is North Texas at WKU. Some of the other games, West Virginia at Texas on FS1, Charlie Strong. Last night, FSU routed Boston College, by the way, 45-7.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Toll's final season in college, not going the way he had hoped, I'm sure. Army and Notre Dame at the Alamo Dome on NBC at 3:30. Pittsburgh at Clemson on ABC at 3:30. Wake Forest, Louisville, that's on ESPN2 at 7 o'clock tonight. And USC at Washington on Fox at 7:30. That's interesting to me because I think USC might have a chance in that game.
I think they probably do have a chance, even though Washington's a pretty good football team. And if Washington wins this thing, they obviously stay in the top four and make it come down to the Ohio State-Michigan game as to how that thing's going to be filled out.
Yep.
The ABC primetime 8 o'clock game is No. 3 Michigan at Mark Stoops' alma mater, Iowa. I saw a stat this week. I was looking at stuff. Michigan only allows teams to convert on third down 19% of the time.
Wow.
That is unreal.
That's very strong.
And that Jabril Peppers is something
else.
I'd
like to see. I haven't seen much of Michigan. I would like to see them just for Jabril Peppers. And then the last two games, the late night games, if you stay up, I always love that there's football on at midnight on the Pac-12. Number 12, Colorado at Arizona, FS1 at 10 o'clock. At 10:30, it's Cal at number 23, Washington State, and ESPN. And it's always fun to watch Mike Leach's team play.
Yeah, it is. And that Colorado team really is in the mix, in my opinion, for a conversation for the surprise of the year.
Well, they're ranked number 12, and you never hear anybody talk about them.
Nope.
No.
Now, on the flip side, they play Arizona, who I think – you know, I guess because they're a West Coast team, Rich Rod has not been getting heat nationally like you would think he would because they've been a disaster the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, they have.
Football outside the SEC is not as important.
It's just not.
It is.
It's just not.
The SEC is such a different – I will watch any SEC game over almost any other game outside of
the Even
like
that Vandy-Missouri game? Even the Vandy Missouri game.
I tell you what, what time is Vandy Missouri? That's at 3:30.
Yeah.
I'll watch it over Army Notre Dame. I'll watch it over Pittsburgh Clemson.
Sure.
I mean,
I would too.
I'll watch Pittsburgh Clemson because I just can't how brutal it's been at Mizzou this year.
The other big thing going on tonight outside of football is Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez, UFC Saturday night fight night. What is it? Where is that at, Josh? Do you know where the fight is?
Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden. So there'll be blood on the floor when Kentucky and Michigan State play there on Tuesday night. All right, we're going to take a break. Final 15 minutes to wrap this thing up. Looking ahead to Kentucky and Tennessee. High noon on Rocky Top. We'll continue with Coach Steve Ortmeier here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. You can trust your
car to Fleet Dog. At Fleet Dog, we break for breast cancer. It's time to stop procrastinating and schedule your mammogram. That's why Fleet Dog supports the St. Joseph Hospital Foundation's Yes Ma'am program. Fleet Dog, with the help of Advanced Auto Parts, is donating $50 from every brake job now through the end of the year to the Yes Ma'am program, providing life-saving screening, patient navigation, treatment support, and programs for reduced or low cost. We want you to break for breast cancer, too. Visit Fleet Dog at 1031 Contract Street, and you could help save a life.
It's a day unlike any other. The little hairs on the back of your neck stand straight. Your breathing, your heart rate are elevated. It is game day. Bengals football.
Fitzpatrick looking to throw. In trouble. Steps up. Yeah. Tries to run. Yeah. He'll be sacked. Geno Atkins was there.
This Monday night, it's Bengals versus Giants. Broadcast time on Classic Rock 92.1 is 7 o'clock.
Bengals football. Presented by Paul Miller Ford. And also brought to you by MLS Power Sports. The Magic Vapor Shop. The Boot Store. Truck and Auto Extras. Banks Floor Covering. Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating and Air. Danville Foreign Cars and Recreation. And Line X of Kentucky. Bengals football on Classic Rock 92.1. Bengals football, presented by Paul Miller Ford, 975 East New Circle Road. And also brought to you by MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. The Magic Vapor Shop, with three Bluegrass area locations. The Boot Store, just south of Man of War on Nicholasville Road. Truck and Auto Extras, 1098 East New Circle Road. Banks Floor Covering, 1117 Winchester Road. Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating and Air, 939 Winchester Road. Danville Foreign Cars and Recreation, 1227 Lebanon Road in Danville. And Line X of Kentucky, 119 Howard Street in Nicholasville. Bengals football on Classic Rock 92.1.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is all wink, wink, hush, hush.
Stick to the script.
At the Botany Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, e-cigs, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Botany Bay? We're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Botany Bay. 420 East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
What about these guys, Mary Jo?
Quiet Riot.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's Benny Snell. I'm looking at TV. He is tied for first in the SEC with 10 rushing touchdowns.
He is something else, isn't he, Coach?
He really is. He's a good, not only a really good player, he's going to be a good NFL player.
The one first down carry that he had, and I think everybody knows what I'm talking about, where he just squirted out.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Kentucky defensive players were asked this week about Benny Snell. And so the thing about him is a lot of running backs, when confronted with contact, the legs will stop moving, just a hesitation, just for a second. And Benny's never stop. So when the contact comes, the next foot is already planted and moving forward.
He actually accelerates on contact, which is what you try to teach, but you can't always get that done.
Yeah.
Who's one of the best you've seen NFL, you know, from your days, like that? With the be able to accelerate through contact, that kind of toughness.
Marcus Allen was pretty good.
Yeah.
Too. Marcus was really good at that. And
I always think of John Riggins.
Yeah, Riggins was very good at that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boy. Today,
Robert Smith. I'm just throwing in my 2 cents.
No. I lost my. You threw me off my train of thought with Robert Smith. Now, what happens today? I think Kentucky could clearly win this game. But they're definitely capable of winning this game. But the psyche. All this history and what goes with it, you don't expect them to because of that.
Here's the way I see this. I think the two keys to winning this game, as we might have mentioned a little while ago, are no turnovers. Not winning the turnover battle, but no turnovers. We have to escape turnovers today, and we have to start fast. so that we can put ourselves in a position to utilize the run game and not have to rely on the pass game. The pass game needs to be a luxury for us that we can score with when the time's right. But we have to be able to utilize the run game. I think another very important thing is going to be the mental framework of this team. If this team goes to Knoxville today thinking that we don't need this game to be bowl eligible, which is true, we'll get beat. We will get beat.
That's a good point.
They have to treat this as a big game. They have to treat this that it would be special to finish second in the SEC East. And it would be highly special to finish second in the SEC East. Doesn't matter to me how many conference games we win, but the placing in the SEC East is important. You realize this is the only SEC team, SEC East team that's beaten a West team this
year. That's right.
Nobody else in the SEC East has beaten a West team this year. So there are some good things. But when you come to Kentucky as a coach, as Coach Stoops did, there are some dragons you have to slay, and Tennessee is one of them.
Yeah.
This 30 of 31, and being a rivalry game, this has to end. This has to become a legitimate rivalry game for UK. We have slayed some baby dragons this year. We put Vandy where they need to be with us. We put Mississippi State where they need to be with us, and South Carolina.
Yeah.
We need to dominate those three teams in order to be a real team in this league. But now we have to start taking on the bigger dragons. And this is one, this Tennessee thing. They've got it going too good over us, and they don't. But if we can win this game today, the bus ride home, you can be thinking about a chance to be 9-4.
Yeah.
And that would be wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and do something that hasn't been done here since 1977, which is win 5 games against SEC opponents.
Yep.
That's important to do.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
And all of this, you know, bowl eligibility is one thing, but it's not really that big a deal for me. The big deal is, which bowl are you going to get?
Right. You don't want to focus on 6 wins being the goal, because
That's
only get 6 wins.
Yeah, and Stoops just said that all year.
That's exactly right.
That's how you set yourself up.
If you're happy with 6 wins, that's how many you'll end up with.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a chance to end up with 9 and finish this year very strong. And we will think that this is a great year in Kentucky football if we finish with 9 wins.
Absolutely.
Second in the SEC East.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, let's go to the phones here. Don is on the line. Don, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Okay, good morning to you all. Happy day. And if we can win this, you mentioned that bowl. Maybe we could be considered for the Outback Bowl on New Year's Day. Boy, that'd be great.
Yes, it would.
That'd be great. That would be great.
What about, I know you was talking about Barnett and how great he is, and he is, but this Dobbs, I noticed, is turned the ball over 8 times with fumbles, but I didn't know if you mentioned what he has done to us, 243-yard passing, 7 TDs, and 64.5 completion percentage.
Yeah, he's thrown for 729 yards and 7 touchdowns and rushed for a buck 50 and 4 TDs again. Yeah, I mean, he's a cat killer. Yeah,
24 runs, 151 yards, and runs a 40 and 28, and somehow we can hold him. Somehow.
Yeah, we either need to hold him, or we need to find out who their second quarterback's going to be. We need to pound him.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't. Don's all on board with that.
Yeah, Don.
Coach, maybe they figure they don't need anybody. They just send them home.
Well, I mean, yes, it could be big for Josh Allen and Denzel Ware to get home and close in on Dobbs. I like Kentucky's guys up front. I like what they've become with Naquiz Pringle and Tymir DeBose filling in there.
I do, too. They've made good progress.
Yeah, I mentioned that last week. I have a shout-out for them. Yes, I like them, too. Today is the day.
Yeah.
We need to win this. And the JoJo, JoJo's always been one of my favorites, and maybe this will be his game this year or start.
When you got 3 fresh horses and 9 offensive linemen that you can play.
That's right.
I mean,
that's great.
Yeah.
Go Cats.
All right. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
And of course, Coach, one of the, you know, the flip side of the running game being so productive has not just helped, obviously, the offense, but it has kept this defense fresh.
Oh, yeah. That's a major point of the run game this year. And another thing, Mary Jo, I think if the run game starts out in high gear today, that will absolutely make the passing game a factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that's what's so important about the turnovers.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to protect the football. No turnovers down there today, and we got a good chance to win.
So what do you think, Mary Jo? What is your feeling on today's game?
I do think it's not a 14-point game to me. I mean, I think that spread is crazy. I think it's going to be close. It's going to come down to the little things. I mean, I think both teams are in kind of a fragile mindset. As Coach mentioned, you know, if they go down there thinking, well, we're going to beat Austin Peay, so we're going to get six and that's good enough, then they could get whipped. I think Tennessee is in a position where they didn't think they would necessarily be 3 weeks ago. So it just depends on how each team grabs a hold of those things and how they choose to use it. I don't think Kentucky wins, but I do think it's close. That's just my honest opinion.
If you are to believe what the coaches at UK have been saying this week, that they bounce back just fine, they've had a great week of preparation. Eddie Graham loved what he saw in Tuesday's practice. If you believe that the mindset that they're saying this team has, then I think Kentucky has a really good chance today because that coupled with what's going on with Tennessee. You have Jalen Hurd, your leading rusher. He's still the leading rusher for the season. Up and saying, I'm out, and blaming basically the philosophies of the coaching staff for the reason he's leaving. And you have the guy right behind him who is not a kid who grew up in Tennessee who they recruited. He's a JUCO guy who's in here, and he's already said, this is it. He announces this week. UT still got a chance, maybe the best percentage, to win the SEC East. And your next best running back says, yeah, I'm going to the NFL draft. Which tells me something about how he feels about his teammates and his coaches. So there's an atmosphere there that I think is susceptible to a hungry team like Kentucky, if they are indeed hungry. And that would tell me Kentucky could win this game in a tight one at the end.
I would agree with you. I would totally agree with you. I think if we can do the no turnover deal, that the football aspect of this thing is very, very even. And I like the frame of mind of our guys, too. I've watched them practice the last couple of weeks. They are strong. They are strong-spirited. At this point in time, they now believe in themselves, where they were shaken a little bit earlier in the year. And I think that they go in there and attack these guys today and play a very physical, tough football game. I think it will be much like the Georgia game.
And can you think they can draw from that? Because I do think it's going to be like the Georgia game as well, you know, back and forth and a tight game. But, you know, they lost that Georgia game. What do they take from that and move it forward to today if it's a close game to make sure that they end up on the other side?
I hope what they take from that is they realize they can't give them the ball twice at the end of the game and win the game.
Yeah.
They've got to control the football. They've got to take care of the football and let the other football things, the running, the passing, the punting, the kicking, take care of itself. If they will possess the football, they can win this game.
I think that's the good thing about the Georgia game, was that afterwards the coaches could go to the guys and say, you didn't get beat here, you didn't get beat here, you didn't get beat here. Had you not done this, you would have won the game. Had you not done this, 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 and this. I can point to your communication on defense on the final drive. I can point to the interception, and I can point to the other turnover. And had you guys not done that, you would have won this game. You might have won it by 10 points.
10 points is what I was thinking. Yeah,
that's true.
So when you can do that, I think that gives those young men more confidence that they didn't just get whipped.
Because that interception was a touchdown. A touchdown.
But hopefully our guys realize that this is two young teams in the SEC East that may be competing for the SEC East Championship next year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it done in Knoxville today. Let's become number two for sure in the SEC East with a chance to be one. But let's become two for sure at the end of today and start our own streak over Tennessee.
All right, coming up after the game, 3:30, right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Neil Jackson with Coach Mike Harmon. They will discuss on the UK postgame show, and then at 7 o'clock, we got that Ole Miss Texas A&M game here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, and then, of course, the Dan and Mary Jo show tomorrow morning. And at 9:30, we will be joined by the Courier-Journal's John Hale, who's down in Knoxville, and discuss that game, as well as preview the UK basketball game against Canisius, right here on the Dan and Mary Jo show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Priscilla and Canel.
You know I'm the worst.